It does govern our faith and practice. It's not church dogma or doctrine teaching what the church teaches. It's Bible authority. The Bible has all authority over my life. And so that is the most important Baptist distinctive, because that directs everything else we believe. That is why we believe in the autonomy of the local church. That is why we believe in the priesthood of the believers, that you and I have direct access to God, and so many other truths. Biblical authority. The Lord Jesus often referred to the Bible as the final authority. Think about his temptation in the wilderness. What did he do? He went back and quoted what? The Word of God, Scriptures itself. And so the Bible is the final authority. The Lutherans follow who? Martin Luther. He started that, and their church that they have. The Methodists follow who? Who started the Methodist church? John Wesley did. And the Presbyterians follow John Calvin and subscribe to the Westminster Confession of Faith. The Reformers, the Reformed Church, follow John Calvin and Huldrych Zwingli. And the Episcopalians follow the 39 articles written by the bishops in the Anglican Church. There are so many different churches that follow this person or that person, or this is our head. Well, who is our head? Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it very plain that it's not the pastor. It's not some denomination leader somewhere at some point. It's not a council of 18. It's not some group of people they call prophets or apostles for the day. It is Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Baptists trust the Bible as the only rule for our faith and practice. We already mentioned that a little bit, but as the only rule. There's no other rule. It's not the Bible and, but it is the Bible. Kids, they all left. A couple of you were involved in VBS and remember the song, "The Bible is my GPS," because it is what directs our life. It's not about the church says I shouldn't do this, or pastor says no, or my mom and dad said no. It's, well, what does the Bible say? Sometimes teens, our parents say no, and we don't always understand. They can even explain biblical principles to us, and we don't always understand. But we have to trust the Bible, even when we don't understand. And we, again, trust the authority. We don't go into life with questioning the Bible and say, well, this must, I'm not sure if it's true, so I'm not going to practice anything of it until I'm confident of it. Well, the Bible doesn't want us, and God doesn't want us, to reject what we believe because we have doubts. Any of you adults here ever doubted something about the Bible? I've had times of doubt in my life. But, I remember even dealing with the Bible translation issue when I was in college. I always grew up using the King James translation of the Bible. And yet, man, I had a lot of peer pressure and other things. Well, wait a second, what about this and that? And I began, okay, so what do I believe? It's not just, well, that's what I always taught. What do I believe and why do I believe it? But God didn't want me to just jump a ship from all of what I've been taught and then from the outside look at it. I needed to stay where I was and study out why do I believe this. And you know what? As I stayed there and studied it, that's where I am today. God doesn't want us just to jump ship to go believe something else because we doubt it. When we doubt, we go back to what? The Word of God. We don't leave Christianity and say, well, it's not working for me right now. I'm going to go try something else. No, okay, it's not working for me. The question is, am I dedicated in living for God? Christianity isn't the thing that gives me all sorts of great life. Now, it does give us the joy unspeakable, full of glory, and it really is the best life. But it doesn't bring all the riches. But the Bible is our authority that we go back to, and we don't leave it during times of doubt. It is the only rule for our faith and practice. Again, so there are other holy books that people claim. The Muslims, what is their holy book that they claim? Okay. How about the Latter-day Saints? Or Mormons? The Book of Mormon. I mean, there's all sorts of these other holy books, religious books. By the way, it's interesting, maybe it's just a personal thing. I don't like it when they've got the herbal Bible. The herbal Bible. I mean, they're dealing with all these natural herbs and other things, and they call it the herbal Bible. Because it's what you need to know about herbs. Well, wait a second. I don't like anything being called the Bible unless it's what? the Bible, because it is our final rule for authority. It's not the herbal Bible. It's not this other book that might be called a Bible or authority on this subject matter. We want to reserve a title for what it's reserved for, and that is God's Word. It is holy. The Bible is divinely inspired or God-breathed. Paul reminds Timothy, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. It is divinely inspired. I was listening to someone today who was doubting the Bible. And they took their legal background and all sorts of stuff, and they began to study, is the Bible true? And as they looked at things according to how even the legal process in America works, they said, well, the Bible is true. And the reality is, we go back, we look at the Word of God, and it is divinely inspired by God. The Bible is a history book, but it is the complete authority in everything it touches. If the Bible talks about science, is it true? Yes. It's incredible to see so many different references to this about the world, whether it's the shape of the world or whether it's this other scientific fact about the world, and just kind of references that. And science argued against that for years, and all of a sudden, as they studied and studied, they're like, oh, well, this is what the world is. Well, the Bible was always right. Even if in doubt, if science seems to contradict what the Bible teaches, we must always believe what? The Bible, because God divinely inspired, and it's been seen time and time again through history that the world has argued the Bible's wrong because of this, and then the world comes around and says, well, this is, I guess, we were wrong, and this is the way it is. The Bible has always been right, because it is complete authority in everything that it touches. The Bible is profitable. We said, as we quoted that scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which means it has the authority to tell us what is right. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ, by putting my faith in Him, not working my way, not earning my way somehow. The Bible is profitable for reproof, which means it has the authority to tell us what is not right. And that's not the way to live. Well, who says it's not in, we're in year 2018. But God's Word has the authority to tell me what's not right. That it's not right to have certain relationships outside of marriage. And that some things that the world calls marriage aren't really marriage at all. The Bible is our final authority. And it tells us what is not right. Correction, which means it has the authority to tell us how to get right. So if there's sin, how do we get right? Well, the Bible tells us that. And instruction in righteousness, which means it has the authority to tell us how to stay right. How do I live right? Kind of talk more about that this evening from Colossians. But how do I stay right? The Bible is incorruptible. It does not perish or deteriorate over time. Now, your copy of the Bible might. Anybody ever have a Bible that has fallen apart? Hopefully that was from use and not abuse. But Bibles fall apart. But the Word of God doesn't deteriorate or perish. In fact, people have tried to destroy it. But they can't. Because God's Word will stand. We sang about that actually this morning on our way into church. The last song we sang as a family, Josiah said, can we sing God's Word Will Stand? And it doesn't matter, the second verse of that song, you can take it from the courthouse walls, remove it from the schools, you can teach our children that we're animals, teach against the golden rule, try to hide our Christian heritage from the public eye, but they'll never overcome God's Word no matter how you try. God's Word will stand against the raging. God's Word is incorruptible. It will not perish. And it doesn't matter if our society says homosexuality is right. Or you don't have to get married, you just live together anymore. No, the Bible is our final authority, and it is right. It doesn't change based on culture, because Jesus Christ doesn't change based on culture. That's a blessing, because I don't have to worry that maybe God has changed, and so salvation isn't that way anymore. Maybe God has changed, and I don't really have to do this. Or, now I've got to do all this extra stuff, and I've got to climb up all these stairs on my knees and do all this stuff to earn salvation. No, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and when? Jesus Christ is called the living Word. We call the Bible the written word of God. It is incorruptible. The Bible remains relevant for all ages. Millennials, Generation Xers, baby boomers. It doesn't matter which generation you're part of or the generations to come. The Bible still is relevant for today. It may speak against culture, but it's relevant for life. Remember, what was that you said, Bass, earlier? Faith and what? What I believe and how I live. It is relevant. As Baptists, we believe we go back to the Word of God. Not just for how we're going to function in our church services, but how I'm going to live my life. It goes back to the Word of God. It's relevant for all ages, for all times, for all places. Next week, we have our missions conference. We have missionaries going to Taiwan and Uganda. Talk about different places, different cultures. And then here we are, South Central Michigan. We're a little different than Taiwan, aren't we? Marcella, we're a little different than Brazil here, aren't we? Culture is different, but the Bible is the same for every culture you go into. Now, we aren't wanting our missionaries to go plant South Central Michigan churches in Uganda and Taiwan. We want them to plant Baptist churches because what the Bible is the authority for life. And it was incredible. This week, we've been watching some shows called Stevie's Trek. He's an evangelist son who's taken some treks around the world, and he's done 8 videos, kind of geared towards kids, but man, I love them. This last week, we watched his trip to Zambia and talked about David Livingston and some of the other truths of Zambia and some of the fun things, but the reality of Christians in Zambia. It was incredible to watch Christians in Zambia worshiping God according to the Word of God. A little different than we do in South Central Michigan. But again, it's the Word of God. It doesn't matter where I am. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, go ye therefore and teach how many nations? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It's not just we want to plant churches like our church. Well, we need to plant churches that believe the Bible. So in one sense, yeah, they better be like our church. We believe and we practice the Word of God. But the Christians in Uganda or the Christians in different countries, do they dress the same way as they go to church? Well, no. There are some different musical styles. Now, again, there's biblical music and there's unbiblical music. Doesn't matter what culture you're in. There might be cultural preferences, but there is right and wrong according to the Word of God. Jesus said, go to all nations, teach them to observe all things I have commanded you. All cultures in the world know what sin is and that they need a Savior. Every culture. Do you have people who steal in Brazil? They take stuff from people? Yeah. It doesn't matter where we are. Sin is sin, and there are consequences for sin. Jesus is the only hope we have. That's why we have missions conference, for such a time as this, that we can be participating, taking the gospel to these countries, but so that we can be motivated to take the gospel to South Central Michigan and be involved. Because it's the Bible that changes what we do. B, biblical authority. It dictates how I live and how I'll live my life towards those around me. Various churches approach the authority of the Bible in different ways. There is the rationalistic approach. Man has the final word, not the Bible. So in this approach, man decides what is true. Some people believe some parts of the Bible and deny others. Well, how can we be the judge? How do we know which is true? And, well, that one, there's no way. People do this all the time. Well, there's no way that the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea really happened. It was a shallow sea. It was really called the Reed Sea, and they just kind of walked across. Well, then, as some have said, well, man, what a greater miracle that those in the chariots died, right? Well, the point is, they rationalized the miracles away. Well, there's no way the miracles in the Bible could happen. Humanly, is there any way the miracles in the Bible could happen? No, but who's in control? God. So the miracles are true. We can't look at the Bible rationalistically and say, man, there's no way that could happen. Humans have tried this throughout history, and yet they've always come up short. whether it's those science areas or history areas or other things, that, no, there's no way the Bible could have be true in that area. And they come back, wow, it was true. That doesn't always mean they believe it. But the reality is we don't just look at the Bible with our own rationalistic eyes. Some believe Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but deny that he was the Savior of the world. Some believe that Israel spent 400 years in Egypt, but deny Moses did miracles as they came out. Some believe the creation story and combine it with evolution and make millions of years in the timing. No, they weren't literal 24-hour days, some people say. They were just ages. Well, again, you look at it very clearly. The Bible teaches seven literal 24-hour days. But people argue, well, it's the theistic evolution. God's in control, but wait a second. We don't look at the Bible rationalistically. Some people have the mystical approach. Experience is the final authority, not the Bible. You ever heard someone like this? You just don't know what I felt. Salvation is not based on feelings or the experience. Oh, God just came over me. Now, are there times where we are just overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit? Yes, man, when I am walking in Him and in His Word, man, He just changes me. Sometimes He gives me joy, unspeakable and full of glory. But some people just have this mystical approach and they believe the Bible when it fits our experience. But really, it's my experience as the final authority. So many believe whatever about heaven because they've been there. Really, we have to look back at what the Bible says. There are so many different people who say, well, man, I've been to heaven and come back. I don't know. We have to look back at what the Bible says, not just based on someone's experience. They may believe they have been, but I can't live my life based on feelings or experience. Some people may have had an unsaved fiance, getting ready to get married, and man, the fiance was unsaved, and the Bible does teach to not be unequally yoked, but after they got married, man, their spouse got saved. So that just means it's good for everybody. We really don't have to believe or practice the part about not being unequally yoked. Well, just because your experience and God worked doesn't mean it was right. How about lie? There have been liars who God used in the Old Testament. Joshua, right? Remember the Battle of Jericho and all those things going on, but that didn't mean it was right. Some have the ecclesiastical approach. Church leadership is the final authority, and they can add to the incomplete Bible. The Pope adds to the Bible or his dogma that he teaches. Lent is added to the list of things people need to do. All these other things that are added. Book of Mormon, it's another testament of Jesus, they say. It's always shown next to the Bible, but it's there because the Bible wasn't complete. Well, wait a second. The Bible is the final authority of the Word of God for my life. God has warned against this ecclesiastical approach. It's not up to church leadership. And then we see the Baptistic approach. God has the final word, and His word is the Bible. John 1:1. In the beginning was the, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. 1 John 1 talks about a number of those truths, if you remember back to our study in 1 John. God has the final word. That's why we call this the Baptistic approach. Because it's not what we just believe and so we say this is it. The Bible makes it very plain and clear. God is the final say. We think about relationships and we're under leadership at times. And that leader takes the buck, stops there, right? Man, I remember how many times when I was an assistant pastor under my dad that I was thankful the buck stopped there and not here. But when it comes to life, the buck doesn't stop here. Well, I say this and so it's going to be. The buck stops with God. God said it. That settles it. There's a song, God said it, or I believe it. That's good enough for me. Well, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. God said it. That's final authority. Not based on my experience of what God said or my view of what God said. God has the final word. We can best interpret the Bible by looking at the grammar. What does the text say? How many of you don't enjoy English class? Teens? How many of you are? Okay, Spencer? Anybody else with Spencer? Hannah? Okay, anybody else? Good, Matthew. How many of you adults did not enjoy your English classes, right? Man, there's a lot that goes involved in that. But words have meanings. You know, it's interesting. Some words have two different meanings, and you have to look at it based on its what? Context. How about the word blue? If I just tell you blue, am I talking about the color of the pews or am I talking about the wind? You don't know until I give you context. We have to study the grammar of the Word of God. Bible language is important. We could go in depth. We won't go into depth in this. But really, if we look at Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pastors had the leadership of the church. Based upon what? God's word. Pastors watch out for you spiritually. For you and for me. That's what God has called me to do. So there's clear instructions concerning who's in charge in the local church. God has said it. We can look at the greater context. Some are willing to obey, even as this says, hey, submit yourselves. Again, not that I, again, we've already talked about this, not that the pastor's the dictator, but man, burdened for you to live godly, burdened for me to live godly. So many different things. For the sake of organization and to eliminate chaos, the pastor must be the what of the local church? The leader. He's got to be. And so that's why there are times we set standards. Whether it's a ministry standard, hey, if we're going to serve, this is what we're just going to ask in this setting. So that there's not chaos, so there's organization. It functions well. Again, it doesn't mean that because he's the leader, it doesn't mean he's the smartest in the church. And I don't want a show of hands to say how many of you agree with that. I know that. Being the leader doesn't mean I'm the smartest. Does being the leader of this church mean I'm the godliest? Okay, now that hits close to my heart. Man, but it's true. It doesn't mean that. There are some of you who, man, I look up to your walks with God and I'm just like, wow, I want to be like that. But being the leader means to help point us to God, who God has called. There are all sorts of leaders that we have in life. And so the pastor should have the freedom to oversee church policy at times. Who uses the building for weddings or funerals or open houses or what all goes on? That's not just some community center. Even community centers have somebody who leads and oversees. The church position on abortion or euthanasia. What does the church believe? Goes back to what? The Bible is our final authority. How to deal with sex offenders who come around. There are things like that that have to be dealt with that the pastor needs to lead in. What is the church going to believe and teach, based on the Word of God, on the whole gender and LGBT issues of the day? How about dress code and music for church services and ministry opportunities? Somebody's got to. And so there's these roles that God has given the pastor. Again, we go back to, it goes back to the Word of God. How about having people as Sunday school teachers and leaders in other aspects and areas of the church? Not as a dictator, but as a leader, to lead. Different pastors do all these different things in different ways. Every church is different. But it goes back to God has placed a pastor in authority. And it goes back to the Word of God. Why do we as parents say our kids have to obey us? Because I'm in charge. Not really. My kids don't have to obey me because I'm in charge. They have to obey me because God said, children, obey your parents. It has nothing to do with me. My kids have to obey me because of a lot higher calling than what I am. Hannah has to submit, not because I'm her dad, but because God said, honor your father and mother. Do you think Hannah's right sometimes when I'm wrong? Matthew, do you think she's right sometimes? Sometimes, right? Yeah, of course she is. And you know, sometimes I have to apologize to my kids. That doesn't make me any less the leader, but I'm there to help point them to God. And we look back to the Word of God. It is our final authority for life. We can best interpret the Bible by looking at the history. So we looked at grammar. We can look at history. In fact, in the same Hebrews 13 passage, we can look at history and the prevailing circumstances around it. Who was it written to? Well, Hebrews, Jewish Christians, about 68 AD. Jesus had been gone for about 35 years. They were no longer members of the local synagogue. There were the local churches. How is this going to function? What's going to happen? They had been having high priests in the synagogues and priests that would lead the way. How about now? So they needed, again, they were used to obeying religious leaders, but who's the leader? What's going to happen? Who do we follow to follow God? The mindset of Jewish Christians in AD 68 was certainly not bent toward obeying religious leaders. They struggled with their religious leaders, many who were wrong and led them astray. How about even Paul? Okay, he was a religious leader before he got saved, as Saul. What did he do? He persecuted those who left the synagogue and went to the followers of the way. So we look at grammar, we look at history. We can best interpret the Bible by looking at the context. What do the adjacent or the nearby verses say and mean? We go back to Hebrews 13:7 and Hebrews 13:24. Again, looking at the context. Context is key to our understanding. Again, I could say blue and it could be these pews or it could be the wind blew really hard the other day. Well, what does the Bible say? We look at the context. The context in Hebrews 13 includes verses about those who rule over us in the local church. There is the leadership of those in the local church. So clearly it's talking about the pastor and the local church, not the pastor in your private life. But it's the pastor wanting you to live godly in life, not to dictate everything you say and do. This passage is not talking about your boss at work, the policeman on the corner, the husband of the home, a military sergeant. It's the pastor and the local church. Other verses nearby include challenges or admonitions about Christian conduct, how we live our lives. Hebrews 10:25 nearby says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We see so many churches disbanding all the services. And yet, man, we need each other. We need to draw close to each other. We need to draw close to God. There is one reliable way to interpret the Bible, but there are many unreliable ways. So we look at all these different things. Again, biblical authority. How am I going to interpret it? In fact, if you want to study some of these other things, biblical hermeneutics. How do I understand what the Bible teaches? We have all sorts of other study tools and helps with that. The Bible is my final authority. It's your final authority. Not strictly on what I say. But do you dig into the Word of God for yourself and see what the Bible says? You're accountable for it because the B stands for biblical authority. And if I don't let God's Word be my final authority for life, I won't please God. And that's up to you, how you want to live. The reality is you can live in an honoring way to God, but only through His Word. As Baptists, that's what we go back to. It is the Word of God, my final authority for faith and practice. So let's look at it. That's why as I open up the Word of God on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, or other times, because we need God's Word. It's it. Without God's Word, there's no reason to get together. Let's go have social functions somewhere else, at the golf course or the lake for fishing or whatever it may be. But the Bible is my final authority. That's what will dictate my life. As we go into our missions conference this week, that's why we have missionaries. Because they believe the same thing. The Bible is their final authority. That's the kind of church they're going to plant.